Good morning, everybody. And welcome to our time of worship together this morning. Just a few notices before we begin. The notices for December, yes, I realised this morning it was December this week, so I have frantically typed them, are in the meeting room. There's lots going on this month, and details of our Christmas services are also on there. So please take note of what's happening, and I did email them to you as well. Trailblazers is on this Friday at 6:30. If any of you know any young families in your neighbourhood, please invite them to come along for a time of fun and games and quizzes and snacks this Friday. 6:30, looking at Nick? Yeah, 6:30. Heather Temple has been busy making her cards and beaded items ready for Christmas. She's raising funds for Open Doors and Tear Fund. And Sheila and her ladies have been making Christmas crafts as well. Both items are available in the meeting room for sale after service today. Sheila would also say thank you to everybody who came to Gala Night to help and who contributed. She has raised over £200 at Gala on Friday, so thank you, Sheila. And the Christmas card is up on the wall, and so from next week, stars will be available for you to write your messages for Christmas to the congregation to add to our Christmas card. So that might save you some writing at home if you'd like to do that. Thank you very much, Nick.
Good morning. On the first Sunday of Advent, and it's not even December. Let's trust this morning that as we begin to think about and begin to celebrate the arrival, the coming of this baby that means so much to us, that God meets with us this morning as we share together. I'm going to start with a prayer this morning. I hope you've all had chance to read the verse that I've put up, because that's going to be central, really, to our service, not only today, but as we go through this Advent season. I would encourage you to take this verse and memorize it, take it to heart, pray over it as we look forward to the arrival and celebration that we have in this baby that came for us. So let's just have a moment of prayer together. Advent God, we worship you, the God who comes. You are not remote from the world you have made, but each day you come to us, blessing us with your presence. You came in creation itself, as your spirit moved over the waters of chaos. You came in Jesus Christ, made flesh in our world of weakness and need. You came in power to raise him from the dead, a mighty promise for all creation. Each day you come by your Spirit, gently and powerfully working in the lives of men and women. At the end of time, you will come in power and righteousness, in mercy and redeeming love. Grant us the grace to welcome your coming. Inflame our love to yearn for your presence. Enlarge our vision to recognize your coming day by day. We greet you this morning, Advent God. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our first song this morning. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Let's stand and sing together.
To worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that.
You can take your seats. So here we are to worship this morning. And of course, being Advent, we have our Advent wreath. I don't know if you've ever thought about the Advent wreath and what it symbolises, but I thought this morning I'd just spend 1 minute and just go through the candles. And I thought, when I was Googling this week, this was going to be an easy task. But there are so many different variations I could not believe. So I've picked one. Excuse me if this is not your favourite, but this is the one I've picked, and it fits in really today. So the first Sunday of Advent, symbolising hope, sometimes called the prophecy candle, in remembrance of the prophets, and especially prophet Isaiah, who in the Messianic Bible foretold the birth of Christ. It represents the expectation felt in anticipation of the coming Messiah. And we're going to light the first candle in a minute, symbolizing hope. The second candle could represent faith. Some churches call it the Bethlehem candle, as it's a reminder of Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem. The third candle could symbolise joy. And again, some churches have a name for this candle. They call it the Shepherd's candle. And it's meant to remind us of the joy that the world experiences at the birth of Jesus, as well as the joy that the faithful have reached the midpoint, the centre of Advent. And on the fourth week, we light the final candle around the outside as we wait for the birth of our Saviour. Symbolising peace, the angel's candle, it reminds us of the message of the angels. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And of course, we have that candle, don't we? Right in the centre, that we light on Christmas morning. The Christ candle, representing new birth, the life of Christ. Christ, our sinless, pure, perfect saviour. And so, Neve, where are you? Neve, come on up. Let's light our first candle this morning, symbolising hope. No, just the one. Eager. Thank you, Neve. You can sit down. Bless you. So we light one a week, don't we? And before we move on to sing another couple of songs, a prayer. Father God, every word in Scripture points to the gift of hope that we have because of Christ Jesus. The Christmas story wasn't the beginning of that message of hope, because the Old Testament is full of glimpses of your plan to redeem your people and to restore them into a relationship with you. But we're able to truly begin to see and understand just how great your love for us is when we read the story of Jesus' birth in Scripture. That first Christmas, you gave us the gift of hope, wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. Thank you, Father, for your immeasurable gift. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're just going to sing another couple of songs now, and I invite you to stand as we sing together. And we're going to start with the one that we played a few weeks ago that's new to many of you as a reminder. And we're going to stand and sing together, I Raise a Hallelujah. Let's stand and sing together.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Raise a hallelujah louder than beyond belief. Raise a hallelujah, my weapon is a melody. Raise a hallelujah, heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise, death is defeated. Hallelujah, with everything inside of me, I raise a hallelujah, I will watch the darkness flee. Your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise, death is defeated, the King is alive. music fades and all is stripped away, I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, or a song in itself. It's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, for the way things appear, you'll appeal into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, for the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. It's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. It's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. It's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about Jesus this morning, isn't it? Andrew's going to come now and he's just going to spend a couple of minutes and just pray with us. Thank you, Andrew.
Nick said he wanted 7 or 8 minutes, but we'll see how we go. Let's all pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence today as we worship together, as a people who believe in you. Lord, we have our hope in you. And we thank you for this morning, for the first Sunday of Advent, when we can remember the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, he is our cornerstone, and without him we are nothing. So we thank you today, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Particularly, we remember your birth at this time of year. Not quite yet, but coming up soon. Lord, we thank you for the hope that it gives us. We remember from the Old Testament, Lord, how your people needed hope. They turned away from you. You had exiled them. But Lord, you brought them back and with a promise of hope. We thank you, Lord, for that. And as we think too of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the hope of the resurrection. Lord, we look forward to that time when you will come again. We remember, Lord, that you died on the cross and that you were raised in your body after 3 days. And we know that we will also be raised to new life, a new body, Lord, when you come again. And then we will have the hope of reigning with you in glory and in the new heavens and the new earth. So, Lord, in this world where there is so much despair, where there is so much fear, we pray, Lord, that people would see the hope of Christ at this time. Lord, we do pray for our world, and there are so many things going on that we're worried about, so many things that we are praying about that need your intervention. But Lord, we know that you are the ruler of all things and you guide the nations. Lord, you appoint governments. Lord, you are working your purposes out. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bring peace to this earth. And we know of many areas, many nations where there is no peace. But Lord, we pray that the hope of Christ would shine into those situations. And Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for all the things that are going on. And we ask, Lord, that you would overrule and you would bring peace to our nation, that you would shine the hope of Christ into the hearts of men and women. And Lord, we pray for ourselves. Lord, we have busy lives, and we just pray that you would shine your hope into our lives. Help us to turn from thoughts of the world to thoughts of you. Help us, Lord, to praise you and put our trust in you for all things. Lord, because we know we can rely on you. So we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
I've picked a reading this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, picking up from verse 35. And it says this: "Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear," Jesus said. "However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings, right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know the day your Lord is coming. Understand this: if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected." Before I share a few thoughts around this passage, we're going to sing "My Heart and Voice I Raise to Spread Messiah's Praise. Messiah's Praise Let All Repeat. The Universal Lord, by whose almighty word creation rose in form complete." Let's stand and let's sing this together. take your seats. Just in case you didn't know, it's that time of year again. The moment we realise another year has almost gone by. Decorations are being unboxed as we strive to ensure that our house shines brighter than next door's. Lists are being compiled and written. Who have we got to get presents for? And more frustratingly, what do we get Aunt Mabel this year? Who do I cross off my Christmas card list? Based, of course, on whether I got a Christmas card from them last year. And what food have we to order? Now, which supermarket is selling the biggest turkey this year? What presents would I like to receive? Must make a really long list here. And I need a full itinerary of timings for the big day and a list of people we need to visit over the festive period. Lists, lists, and more lists. Pressure, pressure, and more pressure. Lack of time. No time. Why didn't I think of this some months earlier? Do you recognise any of that? A little tongue-in-cheek, maybe, but for some, it might be a partial reality. For others, though, this picture I could paint quite differently. I shan't get my box of decorations out this year, as I'm not able to get a tree. The presents will have to wait. Maybe I can get a few things in the January sales. There's always next year. I'm hoping to have a few food tins in for Christmas Day. But there are still 4 weeks to get through yet. If I keep this old newspaper, I might be able to wrap up the soup so I have something to open when the day arrives. Pressure of a different sort. And I don't mind telling you that as I penned these words earlier this week, I was so glad I had my box of tissues on hand. Because I wept. Now, I guess some of you might be saying to yourself, Nick, I was enjoying this when you first started. The first minute or so was great. But now I don't like where this is heading. I came to church to smile, sing lovely songs, have a good time, sit and be comfortable. Being challenged wasn't part of the criteria for me being here this morning. Well, the news is, my friends, that for some, the second picture I painted might be a closer reality of how Christmas actually pans out. The simple truth is, life can be messy, and our perception of it, the picture we paint for ourselves, is certainly different for each of us. At college, part of our reflective process is to think about our evening worship time, especially when it's one of the ministerial students leading and preaching. We're asked to provide individual feedback on the service as a whole, and particularly the sermon. Now, please don't go rushing to get pen and paper this morning. But one of the questions we have to answer is, what was the good news? And every message has happened good news, right? Or maybe in this context, it might be better to say that every sermon should contain some good news. And this morning, the good news is quite simple. And I trust you've heard it already in earlier parts of the service. One word, hope. Hope given to humanity through the birth of Jesus. Hope shared with sinners through Christ's death and resurrection. hope anticipated by Christians through the return of our Saviour. And there's a 20-minute sermon right there on the screen, isn't there? Do you know, Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. And this verse has touched me this week. And as I've read it, and as I've meditated on it, and I've prayed through it, it's a cracking verse for Christmas. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Hallelujah. And this morning, this is about participation. And what I'd like you to do in the next 30 or 40 seconds, I want you to turn to the person next to you. And I want you to say that verse over them. I dare you to get up out your seat and go and grab somebody by the hand and pray this verse over them. You have got exactly 30 seconds. Go!
May the God of hope fill you.
Great, isn't it, to be able to just share words of scripture over each other. And don't worry if you didn't shake hands or pray this over the person that you wanted to. There's going to be at least one more opportunity to do that this morning. I want to share four quick things as we talk hope together. And the first thing I want to suggest is that we need to ensure that hope points heavenward. And I think we can sometimes really forget this. It's so easy to put our hope solely in earthly things. And we can lose sight of what Jesus provided for us. Quite a few years ago now, when Adrian was here, he did a Christmas sketch. You might remember. It started with a photographer who wanted to take a nativity picture. In the shot was a simple manger with a baby. But at Christmas, you can't just have a small manger. So the photographer called in Mary and Joseph and arranged them nicely into the scene. This too seemed a little simple. So shepherds and wise men were added, shortly followed by sheep, donkeys, Herod, and an innkeeper. Angels were missing, so these were pulled into this growing tableau. Looking at the picture, it became apparent there was still seemed to be something missing. Someone shouted for Santa, reindeer, elves, carol singers, oh, and a tree. These were all then squeezed in at both sides. The photographer, looking through his camera, could no longer quite get everybody into the shot, into the picture. He needed a little more space. He shouted, "Away with the manger," which was hastily removed and the picture taken. Christmas without its central figure. Christ completely removed from the picture. Oh, and by the way, let's not call it Christmas anymore in case we offend someone. Let's just say it's the holiday season. Our basic Christian faith is grounded in the hope that we find in Jesus. Our Bible passage today reminds us to always keep watch and be ready for Christ's return. We must not lose sight of the hope Jesus brings. Isaiah, the prophet. Look up to the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after the other, calling each by its name. What an awesome God. Look up to the heavens. Hope pointing heavenward. Do you remember the story of the king from Aram who wanted to capture Elisha? So he sent a huge army by night to surround the city where Elisha was staying. Well, here's how the story unfolded in 2 Kings. When the servant of Elisha got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots on fire. When he looked up, if God be for us, who can be against us, right? Let's remember that God is a God of hope, and we can trust in his promises. Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. Here's the verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Have you got it yet? You've got another 30 seconds. Go and pray that over somebody else. Okay, so, hope that points heavenward, swiftly followed by hope that is offered to all. We are not an exclusive club. The hope that we've found in Jesus is available for all. Everyone needs hope, right? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short. So therefore, we all need a saviour. And what better time to share that hope than during this season of Advent? Now, sharing your faith and the hope you have might seem a daunting task, but it's at this time of year that we're presented with that ideal opportunity. If we can't share Jesus at Christmas, when can we? It's probably the easiest moment in the Christian calendar to welcome your neighbour into a church space. Why not target the Carols by Candlelight service to pitch your invitation? Wouldn't it be great if every single seat was filled and still people were arriving? Brian having to turn up the organ a notch so that the organ could be heard. If each of us just invites one person and they come, that doubles our numbers. Now, I know it's not all about numbers, but allowing people to witness the hope that we have in Jesus has got to be worth shouting about, right? This message is just too good to be kept to ourselves. Jesus wants all to hear his message. One of the most widely quoted and memorized verses in the whole Bible is paraphrased thus. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And the bottom line, folks, is that it's up to us. We, that's you and me, we're charged with sharing that message of hope, showing the love of Jesus in all we do. Someone remind me of our church's mission statement. Helping people of all ages to find and follow Jesus. Are you? Am I? Are we? The world's population needs hope more than ever. Something to cling to. Something to get us through to tomorrow. Something to say that it will be all right. Jesus, we can cling to. Jesus can get us through to tomorrow. Jesus tells us that it will be all right. The world needs to hear that Jesus is their hope. Not everyone will receive, accept, or even be happy about the message we share. But that shouldn't stop us trying. Our passage today talks about two people working side by side. One being taken, the other left. And while this may have been referring to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70, it does also remind us of the divisions that we see between humankind. Jesus' message of salvation, dividing families and work colleagues even, right down the middle. Did I tell you Jesus is coming again? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. This is your last opportunity this morning, folks, to share that verse with someone you haven't yet spoken to. And it must be getting difficult on the balcony, is it? Is it? Is it? There must be somebody you can speak to. Go! 30 seconds. Hello. What's that little man?
May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may...
Isn't it great to be able to pause and share together? It's great, isn't it? Isn't that what coming together collectively is all about? Being a gathered church together. Being able to share the message of Jesus. It's great, isn't it? You don't sound too sure. But it is. Thirdly, I see that hope provides a secure pathway. If we have hope, we know where we're heading. Without any hope, we can be completely lost. Life can seem bleak and empty. However, we are all of us on some sort of pathway. Which way are you headed? Maybe you're on a path which you hope leads to fame, money, or success, none of which is bad by themselves. But do you also have Jesus walking that path with you? Is he there holding your hand and guiding your steps? The psalmist penned that the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. That could be your reality. But why? Why would you want to consider that? Things seem to be going along pretty well, thank you very much. I have my life mapped out. And it is important to plan where you're heading. But here's the tricky bit, or the exciting bit, depending on where you stand. Every pathway has a final destination. We're going to all reach the point where the earthly path we have been walking runs out. What then? Well, personally, I believe we step off of this path, out of this life, and into the next. The hope I have found in Jesus turns into the reality of one day seeing him face to face. Yeah? Yes! You're getting it. You're getting it. And this leads me to my final point. Our hope in Jesus will be eternal. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never ever die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Yes! Getting it? How exciting is that? Paul writing as though Christ could come back at any moment. He was ready. He lived in expectation, sharing his faith everywhere he found himself. Whether that be in a home setting, a temple, or a prison. He never stopped. He knew the risen Saviour personally and had a sure and certain hope of where he was headed. Are we as eager to share Jesus with everyone we meet? I'm going to finish with these words from Hebrews chapter 6. We who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest. I have no doubt that Jesus is coming back again one day. Let's continue to look heavenward, knowing God's advent gift of Jesus is offered to all, allowing him to always guide our pathway, which will lead to an eternal future with him in glory. And so this Advent, may the God of hope fill you and me with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that you and I may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to finish with this song. And I picked it for verse 2. We have a hope that is steadfast and certain, gone through the curtain and touching the throne. We have a priest who is there interceding, pouring his grace on our lives day by day. Let's stand and sing this together. Thank you, Brian. Let's finish this morning by just sharing the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.